Amen. We're going to get to the Word of God. Is that okay? Is that all right? Hallelujah. Let's pray right quick. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what our hearts have already felt and what our ears have heard. We have been sensitive to the Spirit today, and I've heard you. I've heard you speaking. And I thank you, oh God, that you bring everything into the obedience to Christ. It's all about you. It's not about us. And we thank you for loving us so. We thank you for blessing us with great leaders that have a heart after you. We thank you for that. We don't count it slack. And I pray now, oh God, that your children would have a prepared heart for this prepared word in Jesus' name. And that we'll be challenged to change and freed and delivered. That this will be a day of change in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to a very familiar scripture. Amen. I would that you turn to Exodus. Go to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Pastor been preaching all over this message. Sis B came up. She was messing with it. I said, well, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, you know, I'm telling you something, man. We haven't talked. But I said, you sure messing with my message, man. He said, well, brother, and you just had to finish it. Brother, you just had to finish it. I said, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you have it, say amen. 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 Verse 5. We're going to start with Exodus, the first chapter, verse 5. It reads as thus. It says, and all those were descendants of Jacob, were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to the people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's supplied cities and pittums of Ramses. But the more they afflict them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were afraid. And they were in the dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their services which they made them serve was with rigor. Turn to chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Now, it happened in the process of time. My Bible reads, in the process of time. Some of your Bibles may read, it came to pass. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't forget that. Now, it happened. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. They cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Let's take a big jump. Let's go over to Mark. I'm sorry, let's go to Luke first. Let's go to Luke, the fifth chapter. Let's go to Luke, the fifth chapter, and we're going to start with the 12th verse. When you have it, say amen. Isn't it funny how this opens up the same way the last portion ended? And it came to pass. Watch out now. When he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. He fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show thyself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Amen. I'm going to use for thought and a text today that we need an exodus. We need an exodus. And then I'm going to let you know that it came to pass. We need an exodus. And it came to pass. This is a very knowledgeable and familiar scripture in the book of Exodus. This the story of Moses, and I think all of us are familiar with it. But the way the Lord gave it to me is this. Egypt was not always a unfruitful dwelling place or a place of bondage for God's people. Because it had, at one time, it was like the good old days, how it used to be, if I was to use an example, like the good old days back in our day. The good old days back in our day, you know, when people really love one another. People really care for one another. Bless God, Christmas time, you hear neighbors knocking on the door. Tell your mama I baked you a fruitcake. I want to bless the family. I want to give the family a fruitcake. I mean, the good old days was when you, if you had an abundance, you would cook a meal and go and give it to your neighbor. The good old days was when if I was out of some sugar, the neighbors would come knock on the door and, "Sister, I'm getting ready to go to the market. Do you need anything from the market? Honey, can you pick me up a loaf of bread? Can you pick me up a 5-pound bag of sugar?" And before you start digging in your pocket, they tell you, "I got you. No problem." Bless God, you could go to your neighbor's house and if I needed a stick of margarine. Just until I could get to the grocery store. I go run across the street. My mama would send me to the grocery store. "Son, go to Sister Lewis' house to get me some a stick of butter." And I'm ready to, my mama said, "Can we borrow some butter? Because she's out and she got to go to the store later on." "Son, come on in here, no problem." They wouldn't give you one stick of butter. They give you either the whole pack or they give you 2-3 sticks of butter. Oh, the good old days. My goodness. I'm talking about the good old days when it seemed like that the law even was structured. When the law supported lawful things. Sundays, everything was closed, and Sundays, it was a place of worship. It forced families to spend time together. It forced people to come to church because everything was closed. The good old days when you fix a Sunday meal and invite people over out the church. And church didn't just start here. It went to the house. And you took church home to the house. And you enjoyed church. And Sunday was a day of rest and restoration. You just enjoyed Sundays. I mean, the good old days. these were the good old days. When people were had morals, when people had structure, when the whole neighborhood would raise your daughters, when the whole neighborhood would raise your son, you round the corner cutting up in your neighbor and say, you know what? You sus boom boy. I know, and she ain't raised you like this. Whack up you, and you better get yourself in line. And not only that, be like, please, please, whatever you do, don't tell my mom and my daddy. And they would look at you and tell you, Justin, show us I get home, I'm going to tell your mama. Good Lord Jesus. Now I'm getting ready to get it twice. I got to get it from my neighbor. And bless God, when I get home, you know you getting it now. Oh, son, we getting ready to dance. But Pop, I don't hear the music. You ain't gonna need no music for this song. You don't need no music for this song. I'm talking about the good old days. I'm talking about the good old days when we were having our back pocket some marbles and some jacks and what's some things a badminton, bolo bat. Everybody and the brother, you walk around the street, everybody balls flying. Everybody bolo batting. That's what we had in our back pocket. And bless God, you know, we had the marbles. Everybody shooting marbles. You know, everybody shooting marbles. And then we get in the kitchen and we got a Bobby Jack. Yeah, I got to get my ones in. I got to get my twos in. I get my threes in. I gotta get my 10. Yeah. I say Jack on top of Jack. The good old days. Pastor, the good old days. Well, listen. You know, the law stood for something in the good old days. You could say that the law had strength. You could say that the law was just to a degree. You know, so as it was in Egypt, they were fruitful. They were multiplying. You know, Joseph, the Lord had blessed Joseph so to where he had been in a high rank. But then something changed, y'all. My God. Something changed. The good old days that we used to embrace, and the good old days that we longed and loved, and people were loving one another and sharing with one another, and you know, people would loan out your vehicles and let you drive their vehicle. They didn't care. Nothing. Man, take the keys. Go ahead on. Help yourself. And matter of fact, look, I ain't got much gas in there. Look, take this $30. Put me some gas in it. Can you do that for me? Yeah, just go right ahead. Just enjoy yourself. Those were the good old days. But something started changing. The enemy cannot stand unity. He hates love. He hates togetherness. He hates when people are walking in oneness. And he hates when you're sharing. He hates when you're forgiving and lending to the poor and giving out of your alms. He hates to see this. So what he would do is begin to tighten up the rope. Well, this is what happened in Egypt. Slowly but surely, this generation started dying off. And you had a new sheriff in town. Mm-hmm. The Pharaoh or the king that was tight with Joseph, he died off the scene. When he died off the scene, here comes another king. And the enemy says, okay, now the enemy's behind all of this. They're having too much fun over there. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do here is this. We got a problem on our hands. These guys are multiplying. I mean, they're multiplying. And what's going to happen here now if we get into a war or something, they're going to side against us, and we're going to be in some serious trouble because they'll overtake us. So things in Egypt started started revolving around corruption, deception. And what had taken place was this. He said, we need to do something about these people over there. We got to put some taskmasters on them. Taskmasters. I can tell you this, all the taskmasters aren't dead. I can tell you that right now. I compare, the Lord showed me that Egypt is so much like the world. Egypt is so much now like the world is. And God's people are connected to Egypt. But what God was informing, was really stressing to his children was, because you're in Egypt, don't conform to Egypt. Because you're in this situation, don't allow the situation overtake you. Don't get comfortable in this situation, because God had promised them that he was going to bring them out, not only bring them out, but he was going to bring them out with their goods. But in the process, he told them, don't forget about me now. But something about time. My. We start losing focus in time. Time can be a good thing and time can be a bad thing if you utilize it properly. If the Bible tells us to occupy till I come, do good until I come. But over the course of time, if you fail to occupy, you start losing focus. You find yourself leaning toward the things that are not of God, opposed to the things that are God, especially when it's all around you. So they said, we're gonna set taskmasters on them and we're going to make it hard for them. We're going to make them bitter. See, so when you have a shift of guards, you have a shift in demands. And the taskmasters, they were considered like chiefs of slave gangs. And their purpose was not only to burden them, but to afflict them in their burden. And they had purposes. They were to try and break their spirits. They would try to rob them of everything that was fruitful and that was generous. They wanted to try and ruin their health and shorten their days. They wanted to discourage them from marrying, since their children would be born into slavery. But most importantly, the enemy wanted to cut off their worship with the true and living God and have them to join with the Egyptians in their adulterous worship. Now, you say, well, Brother Kenny, is this possible? Why, certainly it's possible. We see it all day long. We see how that the church now can't get their leg out of Egypt. We see how now that the body is struggling with Egypt, because Egypt was full of adultery. Anything you wanted, you could find in Egypt. Anything you wanted, it was in Egypt. And because Egypt was, you know, sometimes we feel like this about bondage. Sometimes bondage can place so many mental states on us to where we feel like, you know what? This is my life. It is what it is. And if I can't beat them, I might as well join them. And bondage plays such a crucial point in our walk with God. Because it can talk to us. So what they done was this. They said, we're going to put the people on you, and we're going to make it hard for y'all guys. I mean, you know, we're just going to make it hard for you. And I'm going to tell you this. The Bible, we're going to go to Ezekiel right quick. It happened. Slowly but surely, Egypt crept into the lifestyle of the Israelites. Slowly but surely, if we're not careful, this world system will rob us and try to steal us from the Spirit of Christ. We are governed by the kingdom of God, and then you have the kingdom of this world that will try to overtake and overthrow the kingdom of God and have you selling out. Too many people are selling out. And they're calling wrong right and right wrong. They're selling out for the pleasures of the flesh. They got connected to Egypt, and Egypt felt good to them. My. Egypt started feeling good to them. I've been in it for a long time now. I mean, this ain't bad. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Watch what the Lord. See, the Lord knows all things. Watch this. Go to Ezekiel for me. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. 20th chapter, 7th verse. He says, "Then I said unto them," this is the Lord, "each of you throw away your abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt." He said, "I am the Lord your God." But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not cast all away their abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, "I will pour out my fury upon them to fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt." But listen at this. "But I act for my name's sake," good God, "from Zion, that I should not be profound before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them to bring them out of the land of Egypt." So what we felt like couldn't happen did happen. And the children of Israel began to blend in with the Egyptians. But what happened was this. Somewhere down the line, they remembered their God. And bondage got frustrating to them. They got tired of being oppressed. They got tired of being battered and bruised and being led away and fell into worship. Let me tell you something. When you have taste of this heavenly Christ, tasted of his goodness, it anchors you to a point to where if I stray, I'm not comfortable. My God from heaven. My God from heaven. If you taste of this man and you try to stray, and you might just stray, but can I tell you something? You will have no pleasure in that. No. You're not going to have pleasure in that. And you're most miserable. Because you're fighting, you're torn between your first love. So they were fighting and they were torn between their first love. And they got to the point where they said, "Lord, I'm tired." And they began to cry out unto the Lord for deliverance. They began to cry out unto the Lord. "Lord, you got to come to our rescue now." It's something about a cry. My God. Now, I'm not talking about any old cry. I'm talking about a cry from the spirit of a man. I'm talking about a cry of brokenness. I'm talking about a cry of frustration. A cry that I'm tired. A cry that I've released. A cry in my crisis. Have you ever had a cry in your crisis? Have a crisis ever backed you up to the corner where you feel like you can't go forward or can't go backwards, and out of your belly comes a cry? I'm talking about a godly cry. I'm talking about a cry that only God can heal. You have come to a place in your life where you realize, "I can't do this on my own strength. I can't make it unless the Lord do this." And you begin to cry. I got news for you. If you cry in that spirit, God will hear you. God will answer us. Because he already knows the heart of man. And you can fool me. No, let me go here. See, this is what we're familiar with. Yeah, we're familiar with this. We well familiar with this. Hear the sound, listen to the sound. Following you around. Unforgiveness, you're attached to it. Bro, Kenny, you just don't understand what he done to me. Chain in your mindset. You can't get free. Bro, some of us are chained to past relationships. I can't let it go. I'm so wounded behind that relationship. Some of us are chained to, well, man, you just don't understand, man. When I was coming up, man, my father left us. My mama left us. My sisters left us. And now I just got an ill feeling toward all of them. And I just got a problem with them. I can't swallow this thing. And I'm sorry. Bondage. Aren't you tired of carrying this chain? And let me tell you something. Let's just be honest with it now. You got people now that's right sitting in the body that's bound with these chains. You got preachers that are bound in chains. You got laypersons bound with chains. You got deacons bound with chains. You got mothers bound in chains and sit right in the house of the Lord bound with chains. And these chains have a, let me tell you something about these chains. They don't have a respect to person. They don't care about titles. They don't care who you are. They don't care who your mama is. They don't care who your pastor is. They're equipped to keep you in bondage. Don't care nothing about you. They have a purpose. These have a purpose. Bless God. I used to have a dog that I would chain to the tree. We thought he was free, but he wasn't free indeed because he was restrained. He could go only but so far. He could only go but so far. See? And so we got chains of, we are afflicted with our past. Listen, our past haunts us all the time. We sit in the house of the Lord and our past is haunting us. We haven't released our past. Oh, I'm talking deep hurt. Hurt that have carried you from generation to generation. Hurt that has been in you since you've been as a child. 15 years old, you got wounded at high school and you've been carrying that around with you. You're 40 years old now. I'm talking about relationships. Man, let me tell you something. Man, you don't understand what that woman done to me, man. You don't understand what that man done to me, man. And carrying these problems and these burdens around with you. And you're not free indeed. You are free, but you're not free indeed. See, because these things are taught to you. Yeah, they're like a husband that can't stand his wife. They're like a husband that beats on his wife. They'll talk to you. They're like a pimp that locks in his women, and they'll tell him you ain't going nowhere. Sit down, and they'll drag you around by the top of your head, and they'll kick you, and they'll hold you bondage, and they'll tell you this is your future. You ain't going nowhere because I got you. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And they'll hold you captive, and we're wrestling with this captivity in our mindset. I can't shake the past, bro. I can't shake it. And so this thing started talking to you. You ain't going nowhere. Where you going? Huh? Where you going? Where you going? Huh? Don't you feel me tugging? Where you going? Where you think you want to get out of it? Don't you feel me pulling on you? You ain't going nowhere. And you walk around like this all day long. Praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't
Don't go too far. You ain't going too far. You ain't going too far. You're trying to push through the prayer and hit the enemy at you. And he's holding you. You ain't going that far. You ain't going that far. You ain't going that far. He talks to you. And because you've been in it for so long, you find yourself a prey. See, let me tell you something. I know that this is like a masquerade party. This ain't the real us. Hello, somebody. This is not the real us. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about when you leave this place and you still chained. I'm talking about when you go home and you still harassed. I'm talking about when you get by yourself and that thing still chokes you and suffocates you. I'm talking about bondage. I'm talking about bondage. I'm talking, let's just be real. I'm talking about bondage. See, we come to church and we put on our masquerade and we used to have a thing back and we go to the 70s party. We're going to have a 70s party. So everybody dress up like somebody in the 70s. We put on our big fro. We put on our high platform shoes. We put on our bell bottoms and our tight jackets. Flip up the collars and we go bouncing up in there talking Bootsy Collins. I'm Bootsy Collins. You know, a masquerade party. You understand what I'm saying? That's what it is in the body. That's how it is in the body. Well, we're going to church today. Let me dress up. Let me put on my smiling face. Let me put on my praise and my worship. Hallelujah. Let me fool a few folk right about now. All the while, this thing is hooked on to you. Yeah, it's talking to you. It's talking to you. Have you felt pain? Let me tell you something. Let's be real. This life can hit us, and it can give us blows to where it will just knock us backwards. It will knock us flat. It can knock the life out of us at some time. We just feel like, my God. They'll talk to you. Then what they'll do, they dictate your future. This thing tries to dictate your future. You think you're going higher? Not with me. You done forgot who you was. How they hinder your territory? My God. Y'all ain't hearing me. They hinder your territory. If I'm chained to this and God has blessed me with all of this, I can't go back there. Bless God, what is behind this door, Lord? He narrows my territory. I can't even view what's back there in the pastor study. Bless God, he's got a beautiful pastor study back there. But I can't go back there because I'm chained. I can only go but so far. Do you hear what I'm saying? This thing has me to where now I'm losing out on the things of God because my territory. I want to go back there. I want to get here. I can't get here. But just as soon as I just about get to the door, and I'm struggling, trying to get there, but I can't because this thing has me bound. It's gripped me. And let me tell you something else that happens. Harmless good people become great sufferers behind other people's decisions that put us in this. Bless God, I wasn't even a part of this. This is something that resulted from your decision. And because you messed up and I'm connected to you, then it puts me in bondage. And I'm suffering because of, and I got to bear this chain and something I haven't even partaken in. My God. And I'm hurting. I'm hurting because of this. So we just innocent people. Everybody that was in Egypt didn't sell out. You had some innocent people still pulling on Jehovah, still magnifying God. But because the other people were, it was pulling at them. You better come on this way, pulling at them. So we got harmless people have to suffer for the disobedient. Bless God, have you ever had any kids? I love my kids, and I probably done the same thing to my mom and my daddy. Burdened their hearts at times, made them cry at times, put extra burden on them when they didn't have to have carry it. I done that. And I know that's a form of bondage to the parent, unnecessary bondage. Bondage can dress itself up in so many shapes and sizes. See, it's like the laundry that you will hang up on the line. We come to church and we don't want people to see our dirty laundry. Well, wash the clothes, honey. But now let me tell you something. That t-shirt that got that hole in it, that blanket that's got that big spot in it, don't you put that out there on the line. That gown that I love to wear around my house, they got the holes in it. Don't you put that on the line. Because I don't want people to think that this is what I have, you know, on the inside of my house. Don't you hang that mess up there on my line. And you come home from work and there go the underwear out there, whole underwear. You try to, Lord, snatch it off the line. So when nobody, then you look around and see who seen me. Then you go in there and lay the child out. Didn't I tell you, don't you put this mess on the line? Well, mama, you wearing this stuff. Daddy, you got this stuff on. But I told you don't put this stuff on the line. But that's how it is in the body. Yeah. Yeah, you know how sometimes we got some old raggedy furniture in the house? And you're like, no, I can't put that out on the road. I can't put this mess on the side of the road. You know, somebody will look at me and tell me, they actually had that in the house. I can't put this on the side of the road, Pastor. Pastor, I can't put this on the side of the road. Chop that stuff up. Go get somebody's truck. Put it in the back of somebody's pickup truck and take it to the dump. Don't you put that stuff on the road. You know why? Because we want people to think that we're somebody that we're not. We want people to think that we're living in a glass house. That all our stuff is fine jewelry and fine linen. We want people to think that everything about us is great. Everything in my household is well. Everything that goes on in there, it's you just tore all the pieces up. Everything in my house, it's all well. I got news for you. I know everybody here's got something going on. Somebody here got something going on. You got some dirty laundry in that house. You got some holy laundry in that house. You got some ripped up blankets in that house. You got some furniture in that house that you just don't want to throw outside. I'm telling you, go past people's house or something, and you got, let me just call it like this is just being real. You go by there, you see period mattresses all out there on the thing. Bless his name. You driving down the road, bless his name. Good God. It's in the house. And can I tell you something? Can I go a little bit further? You were sleeping on it in the house. You were sitting on it in the house. But bless God if you see somebody else that's like that. Did you see what they threw out their house? Did you see that period mattress? Did you see that tore-up cabinet? Did you see that refrigerator they had thrown out there? Well, bless God, you have the same thing in your house. You have the same thing in your house. So you walking around, bam, bam, only so far. Let me tell you something. Can I say this? It's not God's will that this be attached to us. And I heard Pastor today say, let it go. 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 Say what? Let it go. Let it go. Aren't you sick? Let me tell you something. Aren't you tired of having church here and then only to go back and let this thing talk to you? Aren't you tired going from week to week and this mess dictating to you, trying to tell you where you can go, where you can't go? Aren't you tired and you want to get free of this mess? God said, I want to loose the minds of my people. Because what I came to do is not only free you, but free you indeed. God said, I came to free you indeed. What we need to do with this mess is give it right back to the devil. He's full of chains. He's full of bondages. Get that mess right back to him. We try so many different things. We try so many different things to rid ourselves of that. Sometimes it's just like a disobedient child. And we'll take that problem. We'll try to rock that problem to sleep. I'm sick of you worrying me. And then lay down and go to sleep. And I'm free just for a little while. But guess what? That child is going to get back up. Ha! You rocking this problem to sleep only for this thing to keep on harassing you when it wakes up. God want to deliver us from it. Say, well, Brother Kenan, when I go home, I'm still faced. When I go home today, man, I might just get beat down today when I get home. The devil is a lie. The devil is a, so you got to do, we have to do like the children of Israelite. They have to cry in their crisis. I'm talking cry out of their problems, cry out of their situation, cry out with honesty. Lord, I need deliverance. I need you to get me out of this. Y'all haven't ever had to cry? Y'all haven't ever had to cry? Y'all haven't had to, you haven't been tempted? Huh? I have. I got to move on. Got to move. Watch this. I'm going to show you somebody that was crying. What? Go to Psalm 73 for me right quick. Mm-hmm. Psalm 73. You got to remember, though. We got to remember. What we read about my man is coming. It came to pass. Somebody heard it. Somebody caught it. There you go. Somebody caught it. Now watch this. Watch the faith, even the strongest believers, may sometimes be solely shaken and ready to faint and fail. Psalm 73. Asaph, the psalmist, writes this thing. He starts out by saying, truly, God is good to Israel. To such as appear in heart. He said, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. This man took his eyes off of Christ. And he became bound with envy and doubt crept in. Egypt started taking a hold over him. And he started crying out. He said, Lord, my feet almost slipped here. He said, and then he had made an honest confession. He said, for I was envious. Hello. Hello. Well, Brother Ken, I ain't thinking about the wicked. The wicked act like they parent in the Bible. I can quote Psalms 37 all the time. I ain't thinking about the wicked. Yes, you are. Tell me, sometimes it tempt this man. Sometimes you'll start peeping. How in the world is that brother? How in the world is this brother ungodly? Can't stand God. Not paying any tithes. Ain't paying no offering. Not lending to the poor. How in the world, Jesus, is this man prospering in his way? And I'm sitting here, I got to call a cab to get somewhere. I got to call a friend. I got to catch the bus to get somewhere. Bless God, I got to walk here. I got to walk there. And you telling me this brother that don't even love you, don't know you, he seemed to be prospering in this way. This is what the psalmist was saying. This is what he was saying. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, whoo, he buckled his knees. He said, why not me, Lord? When is my time coming? You telling me I'm a child of God? I'm sacrificing this. I'm sacrificing this. And I have nothing to show? Come on, somebody. Can I tell you something? Asaph is not the only, he's not the only one that's going through. not the only one. This is happening right today. We'll take our eyes off of Christ and start looking at the material things. And your heart will start shifting. Your desires, your taste buds will start shifting. And you want to attach yourself. You know why? Because a lot of times we feel like that's what elevates me above everybody else. You know, that sets my standards. I got this. Well, brother, what you got? Man, I got this large house. I got this fine automobile. I got this nice wife. I'm howling things. Everything is rolling well. Mm-hmm. See, what the wicked, what this is the thing that it seemed like to Asaph, that they have the least share of troubles and calamities in this life. That they seem to have the greatest share of the comfort of this life. They live their life at ease. Huh? They bathe themselves in pleasurable things. He said, this don't make sense to me, Jesus. It's like, and they are ungodly people that live without fear and worship God. And yet not only are they rich, but they increase in riches. He moves on down. He says, but their strength is firm. They are not troubled as other men are. They're not plagued like other men. They're not troubled like I'm troubled. They're not plagued like I'm plagued. He said, therefore, they pride themselves and serves as necklaces. Their pride is like a necklace that's draped around their necks. He cries out. He said, violence covers them like garments. Their eyes bulge with abundance. Look at this. They have more than their heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Don't care nothing about the oppression. They speak lawlessly. They set their mouth against the heavens. They curse God. But this psalmist had renewed a resolve and trust in God. Because if you keep reading it, he goes down and he says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Y'all think the sanctuary is this house. Woo! That's where it's at, honey. And you got to go before the beyond the veil. You got to go into the Holy of Holies. Right there. And you know what? You belong there. You can come boldly before his throne. And you can obtain mercy. And you can gather yourself. See, he gathered himself. He got his thoughts together. Then if you keep on reading, watch this over here in 23. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. And afterwards receive me to your glory. He said, to whom I in heavens but you? Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. He said, my flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart and the portion. He's my portion. Forever. I'm talking about a cry. I'm talking about Hubekah. Y'all remember Hubekah? The prophet? He cried out. He said, violence is all around me. He said, Lord, what are you going to do? Let me tell you something. This was a different kind of prophet. He talked to God in a different mannerism than what some of the other prophets did. He was bold and questioning God. And guess what? God answered him back. He questioned God, and God talked back to him. And he asked Hubekah asked God, he said, it's like the law has fallen asleep. People do whatever they want to do. There's injustice everywhere. You're going to punish the ungodly. You're going to punish godly people with ungodly people. I can't understand what's going on. How are you being righteous, God, allowing all of this to take place? He answered him. What did he say? The Lord answered Hubekah. He said, I want you to do something for me. He said, then the Lord answered me and said, write a vision. Make it plain. Make the vision. And make it plain. Can y'all understand this? Can y'all see this? Can you see this? This is us. This is us that he's talking about. He said, write the vision. Set it up. So that everybody can see it. Make it plain. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute now. I want you to understand something. He said, listen here. He said, listen here. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. You got an appointed vision with an appointed work coming behind it. Appointed vision for appointed work. An appointed vision for an appointed work. Can I just tell you something? You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. He said, though the vision tarry, God is a man and he can't lie. Though the vision tarry, it might take a long time. It might not come when you want it to come. It might not happen when you expect it to happen. He said, but you wait for it because it will speak and not lie. Though it tarries, woo, it will tarry. See, that's what's happening. We're getting lost and frustrated in the tarrying. We get lost and frustrated in the waiting process. Woo, Jesus. I'm tired of carrying this baggage around with me, Lord. When are you going to come and see about your child? When are you going to come and deliver me out of this mess? When are you going to come to my rescue? I see you blessing Brother Sue. I see what you're doing to Brother Sally. But what about me, Lord? When are you going to come to your child? Now listen here. The Bible did not say that it might come. The Bible did not say, I think it'll come. God being God, a man that cannot lie, of everything that he says happens. He said, it will surely come. But you got to wait on it. Somebody say, you got to wait on it. 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 I'm tired of waiting, Brother Kenny. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, God is trying to settle you. He's trying to establish us. He wants us to realize that he is our source of dependence, and I got to take you through measures that are well beyond your capabilities so I can show you my capabilities. My God. I got to put you in situations that you cannot get yourself out of so I can show you how strong I am. So I can show you how much I love you. So that your dependency will be on me and not on yourself. You better stop trusting in your flesh. You better stop trusting in your finances. You better stop trusting in your riches. Because they're going to fade. But the Lord is saying, trust thou in me. Trust thou in me. It'll surely come. I had a hole on I was working on my son's car, and I broke a piece of metal off. I said, oh, man, this is not good. So what I had to do, y'all watch this now, I had to go get a Bondo. Mm-hmm. You take that Bondo and mix it up together. But the direction says you got to wait 24 hours before it fully bonds. Now, you get in a rush if you want to. You might as well just pack it up, go in the house, and wait 24 hours, then return and do the project. That's how it is in the things of God. It's a hardening process. You have to wait till it gets hard. God is trying to, the surface in the waiting process, things are hardening. Things are strengthening. Things are binding together. Things are mixing so that nothing by any means shall hurt you and nothing can penetrate you. Nothing will overthrow you. God is hardening this situation. He's turning this liquid into a solid. Because we are fragile beings. We got to go through something. We have to go through something. You may not want to go through anything, but you got to go through something. If you bear the name of Christ, you will suffer persecution, pain. It hurts. Woo! Gee, nobody liked to wait. Bless God. Have you ever tried to cook something that's alive? We used to get some crabs. We go buy some crabs. And we would purge them crabs. Put them in a tub. Purge them. Man, pop in there getting the pot ready. They was right there. It was very comfortable till you start messing with them. You know, we are in places now that are comfortable to us. And we don't want the Lord to stir us. Because I'm good here, Lord. But I can't see myself venturing out of here. But God got to cook us. He got to put us in the pot. So once you start stirring them crabs around and getting, you know, coming at you. Ha! Yeah. And you put them in the pot. Pop with throwing them things in the pot. Ah. God, get in there. Get in there, he calls them buzzards. Get in there, buzzard. Get in there. He'll lower the pot down. He said, now watch this, son. Watch this. Just relax. They will settle down. They settle down. He go get his hot sauce. You know, his hot peppers. Huh? Some folks take a little, you know, Obey. Some folks even go out there and get some Billy D and throw in there. They ready. But now here's the thing. He gets a towel, sits over top of him. And you know, everything is nice for a while. But brother and sister, once that fire get to rolling, the top starts moving. You start hearing it on the inside of the pan. You start hearing this. They're getting, you know, their heat starting to bother them. Their heat starting to bother them. And before you know it, when they start sizzling, they trying to come out the pan. And Pop hit this whole, get buzzers. You ain't coming out of there. Get in there. He got his thongs and hitting them. They're sticking their claws all out the thing, trying to get. That's how some of us are doing. See, that's how we are in our affliction. When the heat turns up on us, God is trying to turn us into a body that's strong. He's trying to develop our character into the image of his dear son. But it takes a fire of affliction to get us there. And God turns up the heat and we don't like it. And we start fighting each other. We start fighting the pastor. We start fighting your brother. We start fighting your sister. You ain't never happy. Always wearing a frown. Why? Because I'm going through. Don't tell me that you can't tell when people are not going through. Well, then you can't. I don't. I wear a good frown. They can't tell I'm going through. I tell you what. There was a woman called Naomi. Naomi left with her husband in her hometown, trying to make a better living. But everything started collapsing, so it seemed like. Husband dies, sons die. And Naomi left looking fine and beautiful, nice and delicate, like a strong flower. But when she came back, the women made a statement about Naomi. And they said, is this Naomi? Is that the woman that left here looking like she looked? Tell me that the cares of this life, the weight and the pressures, don't fool me now. That's why we ain't delivered now, because we try to put on a masquerade. But I'm telling you, pressure of this life can bear you down to where you can creep up on somebody, you can see them. They got that walk about them. Their head is cocked sideways. They won't even look at you in the face. They can't look you in the face. Naomi spirit. I'm just, you know. It wears. You can see it. But God is a great deliverer. God is a great deliverer. So we have the prophet saying, write it. Make it plain. Watch this. So then before we go to Luke, I'm about to finish up. Before we go to Luke, I'm reminded of Jesus after he fed the 5,000. Oh, Jesus, help me. After he fed the 5,000, it was about the fourth watch, the Bible say. Now, the Bible says this. I had to constrain the disciples to go in the boat. He had to make the disciples go in the boat. The disciples didn't want to go in the boat. He made them go out there in the boat. Guess what? When he sent them out there in the boat, a storm. My God, y'all got to catch this. Have you ever heard the Lord tell you go somewhere when you kind of was reluctant to do it, and he tell you to go anywhere, and he's sending you into a hostile environment? He's sending you into a situation that it seems like it's getting ready to take you out of here. I'm quite sure that those disciples were saying with amongst themselves, look at what he sent us out here into. We didn't want to come out here in this mess anyway. And he just sent us out here. We're about to die out here. The waves are turning. The boat is rocking. And where is Jesus? Let me tell you where Jesus was at. He was sitting up on the mountain watching them. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But though it tarry, wait for it. He'll come. He'll surely come. Jesus look at him. Okay, just a little bit more. I want him to feel it just a little bit more. And it say about the fourth watch of the night, about between 3 and 6. Jesus stood up. And he begins to come off the mountain. Then he comes out on the very thing that was taking them under. The very thing that they were sinking in, the very thing that had them bound, the very thing that they were fearful in. God said, I'm greater than your situation. I'm greater than your problem. He begins to walk on your circumstance. He walks on the things that we struggle with. He walks on those things. And here he comes, walking to his children. Can't you see Jesus coming out to the rescue? Walking on the situation that's causing them to sink in. And he's walking on that very thing. Coming out to rescue his children. God is the God that will hear and answer. But it's an appointed time. Then you got the problem. Then you have the situation with the man that was full of leprosy. And we get ready to close. The man had leprosy over in Luke. But the Bible happens to tag it as it. It. Y'all have its in your life? I got its in my life. It's, and these it's got to get out of here. They got to go. I got news for you. You can try to eat them away, it ain't gonna work. You can try to exercise them away, it ain't gonna happen. You can try to vacation them away, it ain't gonna happen. You can come right back and the same it's is right there facing you in the face. And you say, my God, when is this or when is it gonna pass? Quite sure the man with the leprosy carried this disease with him for a long time. Not even supposed to be in the company because it was against the law. But out of his belly, he cried. Out of his belly, he cried out. He cried out to the Lord. Now his thing was, Lord, I believe that you can do this, but are you willing? Lord, I believe you to do this, but are you willing? I got a news flash for you. God is not like man. Some people are willing and not able. Some people are able and not willing. But not so with God. God is both able and God is willing to do his good pleasure. He looks on the man. He said, and then he put his hand out, touched the man. Yes. And immediately the leprosy left that man, and he charged him, go tell no man. So the Bible opens up with that and says, the man was full of leprosy. He carried it around for a long time, but it came to pass. It came to pass. Don't you let this go. It came. It had a purpose. It came to pass. It came. You in it? You in it? It came and it passed. It came and it passed. That disobedient son, it came and it passed. That situation on your job, it came and it passed. Our new church, it came and it passed. God is not a man that he should lie. I challenge you today to trust God, not your situation. God wants to deliver us today. All through the service, he was saying it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All through the service, he was saying, give it to me. Give it to me. I want to take you to more territories that I have prepared for you. All through the message that he was saying, people kept touching with it. Let go of that unforgiveness. Let go of that bitterness. Get a chain back to the devil. Get that mess back to the devil. It's his. It's not God's. It's not God. Do you want to be free today? I'm talking straight up. Don't fool me now. Don't fool me now. Are you tired of going through? Are you sick of being sick and tired? Are you fed up? A cry needs to come out of your belly. Lord, help me, Jesus. Because I'm ready to walk in freedom. Ready to walk in freedom. Because it's his will. It's his good pleasure. He that the Son set free. Is free indeed. No more chains are holding me. No longer bound to this. But I'm free. I'm free to worship him. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free to that thing that has been harassing me. I'm free to that thing that has had power over me. I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm free. 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 You're free.